Good morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 to start with, and we're going to be talking about the five crowns. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So number one is the crown of righteousness. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Paul is not boasting about what he had done for himself, nor is he bragging about the things that please the flesh. Paul is saying that ever since that day on the Damascus Road, ever since he got saved, he fought a good fight, doing the things that the Lord had for him to do. Paul didn't just start serving the Lord, and then when things got tough, quit. No, Paul said, I have finished my course. That course refers to a racetrack. He had crossed the finish line. He didn't quit. You know, a lot of times in our Christian walk with the Lord, when things get tough, you know, it's easy for us to quit. It's a lot easier for us to quit than to keep on going and to cross that finish line. The Christian's life is not a 100-yard dash. It is more like a marathon and most often an obstacle course. You see, there's all kind of different things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. You know, the flesh, the devil. And it's a whole lot easier to give in to the things that please the flesh than it is the things that please the Lord. You know, I know everybody has different things that they deal with in their daily life. You know, I deal with bad headaches, and sometimes those headaches, they really, really, someday just make me want to just give up. Because if you ever had a headache, the last thing you want to do is sit down and read and try to study anything because you just cannot focus. But sometimes you just have to press on and press on and pray that the Lord will help you get through it. And if you keep on, He will. Paul said, I have kept the faith. This faith is not just our personal faith in Jesus Christ, but it's the whole body of Christian truth or doctrine. Paul was never deterred by some new wind of doctrine. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Paul knew the truth, and Paul stayed in the fight, and Paul kept his faith. You know, it's up to us to keep our faith and to stay in the fight. Paul goes on to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This crown of righteousness is one of the five crowns reserved as rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So it doesn't matter what we do, whether it's good or bad, we're all going to seek judgment for that. And it's up to us as to whether or not we will have any of these rewards or crowns in heaven. Look at, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verses 12 through 15, it says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, for he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Jesus Christ won't be giving out any participation trophies or crowns because you are saved. No, salvation is a free gift from God. These rewards have to be earned. This fight that Paul is talking about is what we do after salvation. We can't fight a good fight if we don't stay in the battle. This includes coming to church and being faithful to the Lord, praying, going out into the surrounding communities and knocking on doors and inviting people to church, driving the church van and picking up kids so that they can come and learn about Jesus, taking care of kids in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, or just doing whatever the Lord has for you to do. You know, it might be coming and spending all week out here working on the building, but you're doing what the Lord has for you to do. Paul said, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." This crown of righteousness will be given to us by the Lord himself. Paul said, "And to not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And that when it's talking about love his appearing, it's talking about being ready when the Lord comes back. You know, as many people, it's not going to be ready. They're not looking for the Lord to come back, but I'm looking for the day that he comes back. This crown is not for quitters. This crown is not for the ones that are enlisted in the Lord's army. No, this crown is for the ones that stay in the fight. It's not for the ones that start the race, but it's for the ones that finish the race. It's for the ones that endure to the end. And that word endure means to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without giving in. And then the next crown we want to look at is the incorruptible crown. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it says, "Know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul draws upon a scene very familiar to the Corinthian readers in order to drive home his point. The Isthmian Games were an athletic event known to all his readers, held on alternate summers within the vicinity of Corinth. It was an event not to be missed by anyone of importance in all of Greece. As a national institution, it was as familiar to its readers as football is to us. And so Paul says, "Know ye not." Paul wants to make sure that his readers understand the rules of the game. The most important rule is that while all participants run, only one receiveth the prize. So Paul says, "So run that ye may obtain." We are supposed to run in this race called life and do what we can to obtain the prize, but it shouldn't be a corruptible worldly possessions that we are laying up. Jesus tells us not to lay up treasures upon the earth where thieves break through and steal, but for us to lay up treasures in heaven. These heavenly treasures are incorruptible. This incorruptible crown will never fade away. Paul says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air." Paul is in the race to win. He knows what's waiting for him when he crosses that finish line. Paul run his race with confidence. You know, we ought to have confidence that if we do what the Lord asks us to do and what the Lord commands us to do, that one day we're going to have some treasures in heaven, because that's what the Lord told us that we would have. Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." That word subjection means control. You know, We have to control our body. We have to control the things that we listen to, the things that we watch, the things that we eat, and the way that we talk. And we shouldn't be any different in the church house than we are out in the world Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. We should be the same all those days. It says, "By least that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, if we come to church on Sunday and preach and teach one thing and then go out into the world and talk like the worldly people, they're not going to think any different of us than anybody else, because we're acting like the world through Monday through Friday or Saturday and acting like godly people on Sunday. It's like we're putting on a whole different facade for one day and then acting like somebody else during the week. Paul had to have self-control. He couldn't live one way and preach another, or people would reject him and his preaching. If we want to receive this incorruptible crown, we need to run the race that the Lord has put us in, believing that we will obtain. We need to run believing that there is only one prize, one crown, and that we will receive it. You know, I think about sometimes go out and watch a football game on Friday night or something, and you hear the kids to start with, you know, they talk about, you know, they want to win and everything. But then when they get behind a few points, you know, it's like they kind of give up. And that's how we are in our Christian walk. We get behind. We want to give up sometimes. Number three is the crown of rejoicing. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? And not even ye in the present of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? This crown of rejoicing is also called the soul winner's crown." The apostle Paul is calling those who has saved his joy and his crown of rejoicing. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13. And it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, and for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." If you compare this level of service with some of the other levels that will be rewarded with crowns, there is no doubt in my mind God will be rewarding those who are trying to get others saved with this special crown. You know, and when we out trying to minister to people, just like it says right there in verse 18, it says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." You know, Satan's going to do what he can every day to hinder us from preaching the gospel and telling others about Jesus. In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says, It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. When you tell someone else about Jesus and they get saved, you have just been the vessel used by God to give that person eternal salvation, and the Lord Jesus Christ is rejoicing up in heaven over that one sinner that got saved. The Bible does not give us a number as to how many people we actually have to be instrumental in getting saved in order to receive this crown. Jesus did say that the heavens rejoiced over one sinner that come to repentance. So I don't think it's about how many people that have gotten saved because you witnessed to them, because not everybody you witness to will get saved. It's more about your willingness and desire to be used by the Lord to witness to others. In the world like we live in today, there are many Christians who are too busy with so many worldly things that they do not have time to be used by God and try to get other people saved. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, it says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You know, we're not going to save them all, but we can get out and present the gospel and help get some saved. We should be willing to do what we can to bring others to salvation. As long as it does not go against the word of God, we should never compromise on God's word in order to win souls. But as long as it lines up with the King James Bible, by all means, we should do what we can to save some souls. You know, there's some preachers out there that's going to tell you what you want to hear, and all they're wanting to do is just put another notch in their belt to say that they got such and such soul. There was just so many people. You know, it's all about numbers for some preachers. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is the crown of glory. In verses 1 through 4, it says, Peter, and chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Peter is telling the elders of the church to feed the flock of God that is among them. To feed them is to give them the essential things that they need to grow in their spiritual walk with the Lord. But they are not supposed to do it because they feel forced to do it, because they feel pressured into it, but they should do it willingly because it's what God wants them to do. They should be willing to do it as unto the Lord and not for profit. We shouldn't try to seek financial gain for the things that we do as Christians to help the church that God has put us in. We should do things out of charity whenever we can. We need to do whatever we can to be a witness to all the people that God has put in our path. We also need to be an example to the flock. The flock is our church congregation. This crown of glory is for the ones feeding God's flock. It might be a preacher, Sunday school teacher, Wednesday night teacher, Bible study teacher, and the ones that's doing what they can to feed the to feed God's flock. I believe God will be giving this crown to teachers, preachers, and leaders that's doing what they can to help other Christians with the knowledge of and ways of God. Once someone gets saved, that's only the beginning. God wants every believer to read His Word and grow in His knowledge, and that's where preachers, teachers, and leaders are needed. Most new believers will not understand the Bible for the first several times when they read it, and that's what's important for the elders to step up and feed the flock, which is among them. In this case, an elder is not necessarily someone older. It is someone that's been saved for a while, that the Lord has shown some things through the Holy Spirit so that they can teach them to someone else. When this crown is presented, it will be given by the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. This crown of glory will never fade away. I don't know about y'all, but I remember when I was little, just, you know, pick up the Bible and you open it up and you try to read that. I don't know, that make no sense to me to start with, you know, but, you know, through the Holy Spirit, you know, He'll show you some things and it'll start making sense. And the more you read it and the more you study it, the more He'll show you. Number five is the crown of life. And that's in, let's look in Revelation chapter 2:10 to start with. When I first started studying up on this a few weeks ago, I thought, and I've heard some of this before, but I thought that crown of life was something that you got when you got saved because you was getting eternal life, but that's not the case. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." This crown of life is also called the martyr's crown. This crown of life is not a crown that you get for being saved. These crowns are rewards that will be given out at the judgment seat of Christ. This crown of life is for the Christians that have endured severe hardships, testing, tribulations, and physical death while keeping their faith. Look in James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So this crown of life is also presented to people that endureth temptations. You know, we tempted every day with different things. And if you're trying to live for the Lord, the devil's going to throw stuff in your path. He's going to know what is your weakness, and that's what he's going to try to tempt you with. But it's up to us whether or not we give in to that temptation. The Bible does not say anything about whether or not these five crowns are ranked in any way as to which is greater. However, I think that the crown of life is number one. I do not think that there is any question that being willing to die for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. I believe that all the Christians who have been martyred for their faith in God throughout history will be given this crown of life. No matter what task the Lord has given to us, we need to do it as though we're going to receive a prize. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." God gave us eternal life through Jesus Christ, but it's up to us as to whether or not we receive any crowns. We have to put in the work if we want the reward. It's not like it is today. Today you go out and do something and just because you participated, they're going to give you some kind of trophy. It don't work like that at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what I got for this morning. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord, and your truth, Lord. I pray that you just be with Brother Drew as he brings the message, Lord. I pray that you just open our minds and our hearts and our ears to receive it, Lord. And I pray that you be with the ones that's traveling to get here, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.